So if you have your Bibles, let's turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Before I begin reading, I got some questions for you. And I'd like to, in the teaching, answer most of these questions. Maybe not every one of them, but we're going to talk to you today about the will of God. And we're going to read that it says that the will of God is the mystery. The mystery is the will of God. It's the mystery of Christ. It's a great mystery. And we're going to go into some of these things. How many of you remember our teachings about the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter? How many of you were provoked in that? I've had a lot of people get a hold of me, call, and have questions, even some people trying to teach what I've already taught. And the main thing is they say, I want my sins to be purged. If you haven't listened to the teachings, you probably should go back and listen to them. I think there's three or four in a row online. And it's that I want the man of sin revealed. You want all these things done. But maybe I can show you a more excellent way here, that we're going to start in a bit of a series to show you those things. Because when you're in simplicity understanding God's will, there's only two wills. And you say, well, every single person in this room has a will. I get that. But from God's point of view, you have the will of God, and you have another. Okay, so if you're doing another, it would be important to understand the will of God and to line yourself up with the will of God, begin to live and walk in His will. How does that sound? So, how many of you know, in a general statement, this is a question, what is the will of God? Think about that just a little bit. Is the will of God the same for every son of God? Now, when I say that, you got to remember, you say, well, I'm a male here, I'm a female here. Yeah, but do you have Christ in you? Do you live your life through Christ, which is the Son of God? Okay, so the Son of God is in each and every one of us. Is the will of God the same for every son? Yes. Okay, got a yes, I got a no. I see Daryl shaking his head no back there. How many of you know specifically, and I'm talking to you here as human beings, what the will of God is for you here today?
For us to follow Him.
For us to follow Him, Dathan said. So basically what I'm getting for you to saying that is, yes, you know what the will of God is for you. Mm-hmm. Dathan, could it be different for another person?
I think it's the will of God for us to follow Him for everybody.
I believe that. In the process of following Him, could there be things that are different for a different individual? Different thoughts of the mind, different things that are in the heart, maybe things that have to be revealed. So we could all be in a different place in the will of God. But I agree with you. In a general setting, the will of God, one of the things that the will of God is that we follow Him. Remember last week we talked about the mysteries of God, which we'll talk more about this week. It basically came down to simplicity. How do I allow God to reveal to me His mysteries, which there are many in the Bible? We'll talk specifically about the mystery here today, because there's one that all of them are tied into. It's the mystery of Christ. It's the mystery of God, the one we're going to read in Ephesians first chapter about. And we came to the conclusion, Dathan said it, I'll say it a little different. Seek the Lord. He told Solomon, if you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. So, Isaiah, the 55th chapter says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto me. He said, I will have mercy upon him and abundantly pardon. So even in that scripture, could there be something that Dathan needs to be pardoned for that Travis doesn't? Could there be something that Travis needs to be pardoned for and needs to repent of that Jennifer doesn't? So there is, we are all in different places in God. But we're going to start in a general sense of just what is the will of God for God's son. And when I think Dathan said yes and Daryl said no, is there a difference between the will of God from the son that is from the earth and the son that's from heaven? That there would be, wouldn't there? Would I simply say that being Jesus or Adam? Let's start like that, okay? Because we're going to show it. There is a different will. And when we're talking about the mystery of iniquity and that day will not come except there first come a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, is there any sin in Jesus?
No.
So in Jesus, he doesn't really need the mystery of iniquity revealed. There's no son of perdition in him. He said at one place, the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me, right? But what about our son from the earth, which is a son of God? Adam did not, see, God had a perfect, I'll say it that way, perfect will for his son. And then something happened. What happened?
Sin.
One word, Dathan nailed it. Sin. Sin entered the world because of disobedience. So in just a general setting, I'll say it this way. I understand the will of God in 2 Thessalonians 2, talking about the mystery of iniquity, that man of sin being revealed, how important that really is. But Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, a Gentile church. He was not speaking to Christ, was he? So what if you took Paul's advice and when he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself unto the death of the cross. Could there be different mindsets here? Jesus does not need sin purged from him. There is no sin. Get it? But could there be thoughts in you of, let's say, I'll make it easy, Gentile thought? Yeah, that does have to have the son of perdition revealed. That does have to understand the mystery of iniquity. I'm just showing you there's more to it than just black and white. It's not just so cut and dry. There's different sons. And we'll just leave it at this for now. There's a son, as we'll read, from heaven. And there's a son from the earth. How did God make Adam? From the dust of the earth, right? He breathed through his nostrils. Man became a living soul. And but what about Jesus? Is Jesus from the earth or is he from heaven? He's from heaven. There's a difference in these sons, isn't there? As a matter of fact, the son from the earth needs judgment to come to him, to have these things revealed, to have the son of perdition, the man of sin revealed, to have the mystery of iniquity. He needs judgment to come to him. The son from heaven, he brings the judgment. Isn't that cool? Now, here's a great opportunity for each and every one of us, because by faith, we can live in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, in the mind of Christ. So we still are going to deal with earthly thoughts. We're human beings, right? We're flesh and blood. We still need our sins forgiven and purged from us. So let's talk about this here today, and we'll answer some of these questions. First one is, what is the will of God? Dathan said to follow the Lord. I agree with that. Anybody else? Walker, I think it's 2 Peter 3:9, because I'm going to call on you right now, Carrie, but when I hear somebody ask, what is the will of God? I almost guarantee it worked in Julie too. What is the will of God? It's not his will that any should perish. He's agreeing with me. Look at a bunch of you in here. That's the first scripture you thought of. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We'll have Walker read it. Make sure I'm in the right place, Walker. Not yet. Carrie. Oh, I read your mind. A lot of us. So what is the will of God? Walker's getting ready to read it. Probably there's two scriptures there, I believe, Walker.
2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
The day of the Lord. We're not going to teach on that here today, but what is the day of the Lord? It's judgment. It's judgment. He said these things are going to be burnt up. In judgment, there's a new heaven and a new earth, okay? And when that judgment comes to you, We've talked about it many times. What is God burning up as we look at the parable of the wheat and the tares of Matthew 13? Whatsoever doth offend and gathers out the whatsoever doth offend and iniquity. Gets the offense, and who is the offender? Remember in Matthew 16 when Jesus said, hey, who do men say that I am? And he had the conversation and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter stepped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord blessed him. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And man, he went on to say that he'd given him the keys to the kingdom, that the gates of hell would not prevail against him. And then he began to take him a little farther in his will, Dathan. He began to say, hey, I got to go and be crucified. I got to go have my beard plucked. Now, I'm paraphrasing. But basically, I got to go be crucified. I got to go be rejected. All these things are going to happen to me. And it says, Peter took the Lord and rebuked him and said, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, that sounds admirable. That sounds good, a friend sticking up for the Lord, for his friend. But the problem is, and here's where we're talking about it, the will of his Father, the will of God, was that Jesus die for the sins of the world, for each and every one of us. He was sent. His will was to die for you and I, for the creation, for all of God's family. Now, another will stepped up in Peter and said, no, this ain't going to happen. And it sounded good. Sometimes that other will, boy, it sounds good. I think I want to do this, I want to do that. Huh, Carrie? Remember years ago, you had a thought on doing another will, and good thing you counseled in it, because it would have changed your whole, the whole trajectory of your walk with God. Each and every one of us have had instances where another will presents itself, and it sounds good, it looks good, just like Peter, but it's not God's will. And so to be able to discern those things and choose the right will is very, very important for us here today. And I hope this lesson, as we teach this, helps you with that. But Peter rebuked the Lord, and the Lord turned and said, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Hold on a second. Did Jesus get offended there, or did he discern the offender? I had a young man in Chicago tell me one time that Jesus got offended. Well, that means where it says, great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them, then Jesus is exempt from there, right? No, he did not get offended. He identified the offender. He said, that thought, that will that's working in you right now, Peter, his friend, somebody he loved, he said, that's Satan. That is another will. So there's where we're going to start off. Let's go over to Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to read one verse, then we're going to skip down to verse 9. Now, let me give you some instruction. When we go to places like we're at in the Bible right here, the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, it would behoove you, if you would like this, and if the Lord leads you, to go back later and maybe read that whole chapter and let the Spirit of God work with you at your own time, at your house, in your spirit, okay? Because there's so much more to read here. I'm just not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to lead you and guide you, point some things out here, but I'm even guiding you and instructing you right now. Hey, go back. If we go to Ephesians, the first chapter, if we go to Ephesians, the third chapter, go read those chapters later and pray and seek the Lord and let him talk to you even more. That's a win-win situation, isn't it? You're getting the word in. The Spirit's talking to you. That's great, I think. So there's your first instruction today. Ephesians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's starting his epistle out by telling you, I'm here by the will of God. I am an apostle by the will of God. In other words, I didn't do this in my own self, Julie. God sent the apostle Paul to speak to this church of Ephesus the things we're getting ready to hear. And he really emphasizes in this book, was there six chapters in the book of Ephesians? Talks a lot about the mysteries and the will of God. So that's what we're going to do too. He said he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now all this stuff is super good. That's why I encourage you to go back and read it. But jump down here to verse 9 with me if you will. Paul says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself. Is that purposed or proposed? Purposed. Okay, I'm glad I asked. I got two witnesses, one teacher and one not. Although I bet she teaches you a whole lot, don't she, Tristan? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So he's talking to us about the will of God, because that's our subject matter here today, right? And he says, it's a mystery. There's a thing called the mystery of his will, Daryl. The mystery of the will of God. Well, what's the mystery, Dathan? Because, I mean, you are ready to answer Johnny on the spot. Could there be more to it than just following the Lord? There is. There's a whole lot more to it. And I'm going to go back to the beginning and show you the will of God for the Son of God, even from the earth, from the beginning. And then what we're going to tie together is God is still working that will. Carrie, sin got involved. And it's like a throwing a monkey wrench in the situation. But God still is working the same will. His will did not change. Okay? And I agree, Dathan. Follow the Lord. Seek the Lord. Do it with your whole heart. Because when you seek him with your whole heart, he'll be found of you. Now, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, again, God's will is a mystery. He said, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So here we go. We're talking about the mystery of his will. What is one of the things that is at the top of the list? A gathering. A gathering. Well, why would you have to gather? Because there's something scattered. James, the first verse, in the first chapter of the book of James, he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. They were still scattered, and we talked about this. We can talk about it more. But the Tower of Babel, they got scattered, didn't they? Why? Let's make it simple, because we went into the depths of this before. Why were the people that were of one language that decided to build a tower, why did God come down, confound their language, and scatter them? Say it real simple for me. Another will. They were afraid that they would be scattered. See, listen, here's something perfect for you here today. Sometimes what you fear is what comes upon you. Job said in this third chapter, that which I have so greatly feared has come upon me. So don't fear, folks. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Trust. Walk by faith. That fear is the devil's faith. You don't want it. It's tormenting, okay? And the thing you fear can come upon you, and you don't want that. What you want are the blessings of God, which we're going to read about. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to read this verse 10 again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, that's in God, in one, all things in Christ. So where he's taking something that's scattered, where's he placing it? In Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. See, God's will is preordained. It's predestined. And you got to believe this in your heart. The reason you're here today, the reason you're a believer, Jesus said, no man could come unto me except my Father draw him. The reason you're here today, and Dathan could give me a right answer and tell me we need to follow the Lord, we need to seek the Lord, because you've been predestined. You've been predestined to know God, to know Christ. He has put a draw on your heart and your life from the beginning. How does that sound? And that's another thing why you can't get away from it. Now, you could work in another will, and you could absolutely come out right and tell God, I want no part of you. I don't suggest this. Most people will never do that, but some people do it in their actions and not their mouth. Yeah? But it's another will. And, you know, I've said this so many times, I believe it with my whole heart, the greatest gift God has ever given us, because there's a lot of gifts. Paul's going to talk about the gift of grace. There's a lot of gifts. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In my opinion, and you can have yours, the greatest gift ever is God giving us Jesus Christ, giving us his Son. There's no greater thing. Because through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. But what's the second? Free will. Free will. God is so awesome, he will not force you to follow him. He will not force you to seek him. Now, he can prepare a great fish, though. If you decide to not go preach in Nineveh, he can prepare a well, have you tossed over the side of the boat, stuck in the belly of the well, which the book of Jonah calls hell, for 3 days and three nights until, like Paul says, you're fully persuaded. You know, so he's pretty good at persuading. He's pretty persuasive. But he, again, will not force you. That's the devil. The devil forces his will on you. The devil tries to look to manipulate, control, and do all of these things. God, he says, here's my will. Come follow me. There you go. Isn't that exactly what Dathan said? Isn't that what he did in the beginning to gather his 12 disciples that were going to be the 12 apostles? He said two words, Tim, follow me. Follow me. And it says they forsook all. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? They forsook all. This should add to last week where I said, what can you do to help God, provoke God, encourage God to share the mysteries with him? What can you do? Seek. Seek him. And those disciples, when they heard it, they gave up all. Land, family, houses. I've done that even in this physical realm. Pastor Gary's done that in this physical realm. So has Pastor Dan. Moved. Sometimes numerous times. There's individuals in our church here today that have come from other locations knowing the will of God that they needed to be here. Huh? From Minnesota? From Arizona? From New Mexico? Did I miss anybody? From all over the place to do the will of God. They said, when you say follow me, that's what we want. We want your will. We're going to seek you with our whole heart, okay? Now let me see. I want to read verse 11, and then we're going to go to chapter 3. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Did you hear that? How does God work, folks? After the counsel of his will. So when he's giving you counsel, when God's talking to you and he's instructing you, where's it coming from? What's the origin? What's the base? It's his will. He's bringing it from the counsel of his own will. Now go with me over to the third chapter of the same book. Let me see. Yeah, we'll start in the first verse again. Again, the Apostle Paul is talking, he's going to be talking about the mystery of the gospel revealed. And says, which I mean, there is so much to preach in these thoughts here. We did a little ordering out sometime back in that first chapter where he said that you trusted, but you didn't trust till you heard the gospel. You didn't hear till you believed, and it was the gospel of your salvation is what you heard, believed, and that's what you trusted in. It was pretty cool. We'll cover that in greater detail another time. Right now, in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So he said, God created a dispensation for me to you word, by the grace of God. If ye have heard of the dispensation, I read that again, verse 3. How that, he's talking about this dispensation of grace that was given to him, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now, see why I tell you to read the whole chapter? Because he's referencing what he said in the first chapter. But notice here, I want to point something out. how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. This is just not any mystery. This is the mystery. Daryl, it's the big one. If I had a dollar for every time Daryl told me in my lifetime, hey, this is big. This is a big thing. I'd be a rich man here today. And Daryl, this is big. He said, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So when he said the mystery, what is the mystery? It's the mystery of his will. We read that in the first chapter. What is it, Jennifer? The mystery of Christ. All other mysteries are contained in this mystery, or the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the will of God. How do you know that? Even spending months teaching on 2 Thessalonians 2 about the mystery of iniquity, how does that chapter start off? Concerning the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. So is that this mystery tied into the mystery of iniquity? He said that day's not going to come. The second coming of Christ, that day is not going to come, except there first come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he's tying the two mysteries together. He's saying concerning the mystery of Christ, where we're being gathered unto him, that's not going to happen unless this happens. So they're all tied together, which I'm looking so forward to talking to you about. I believe it's 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. Paul describes the mysteries and the apostles as the stewards of the mysteries of God. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, they went to the Lord and said, Lord, he spoke the parable of the sower to them. And, you know, a lot of times he would ask them after he spoke parables, mysteries, do you understand? And they'd be like, only to find out later they didn't understand anything he had to say. But he knew that. And specifically, he's sowing. He's teaching them about the parable, the sower that went forth to sow. And so when they asked the question, Lord, why speakest unto them in parables? He said, because unto you it's given to know the mystery. So who is the stewards? Who has been given by inheritance the mysteries of God? The apostles. So if at times you don't understand these mysteries, it's okay. Apostolic ministry should be able to explain this to you, should be able to bring you the understanding, and then by the Spirit of God, you will understand, okay? So if you ever say, man, I just don't get all that, that's okay. Let it sow. Let it sow into your heart. Receive it as truth. Receive it as the word of truth and not the word of man, and then trust the Lord. Let God lead you and guide you through it. We're all in different places. We all have different understandings. Trust the Lord and let the Lord bring you to that in his time. But while you're trusting the Lord, also seek the Lord. How does that sound? Okay. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. See why I encourage you to go back and read? Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He said that the Gentiles, this is the gathering together, he's opening it up to all, Jew and Gentile. Well, what is a Gentile? Jennifer Gallett? There you go. That's simple, isn't it? So it could have been a Canaanite, a Hivite, a Jebusite. Someone that's not a Jew, because the Jewish people or the Jew is chosen of God. He said in the Old Testament, not because you were greater in number, not because you were mightier than anybody else. He said, I chose you because I set my love on you. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now to take that a step farther, because there's so much controversy in the world these days about Israel physically and the Jews. Do you know that in the New Testament, it talks about the Israel of God as the believer? It talks about the Jew that is circumcised is not circumcised outwardly. It's inwardly. It's done by the Spirit. So you're saying, oh, I'm here as an American. I'm not from Israel. But in God's eyes, I can be a spiritual Jew. I can be of Israel. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the one we're after anyways, aren't we? I can show you those scriptures if anybody wants to see them. But so he's still talking about gathering together, that the Gentiles would be of the same body, and of the same promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, I'm looking up here and some time has clicked off that clock. So I'm just going to get this started for next week. How does that sound? What is the will of God from the beginning? We already answered it. Is it different from the son that was from the earth and the son that was from heaven? The son from heaven, no sin. The son from the earth, sin entered the world. So do we have to have, I'll say it this way. Do we have to have two different plans for heaven and earth for the sons? You do. We will start off next week in Genesis, the first chapter. That son in the beginning, because I'll say it to you this way. You know what the will of God is for the Son of God, for those of you that come into sonship with God? Is that you're a ruler. You're a ruler. You know how to rule. Walker, there's a scripture, I believe it's Proverbs 16. It talks about he that ruleth his own spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Now, when I say that, you know, at times people pervert things like headship and how a house should be ran. What I mean by that, there's an order where God says the head of every woman is a man, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. And so what we could do is say, hey, I run my household, the woman has nothing to say. Good luck with that, SpongeBob. You'll be in trouble, Jack. You got some things to learn, I promise you. But could you rule together? Because what we're going to look at in Genesis, he told Adam, he said, go. I mean, he made him a ruler over everything, Travis. Over the beast of the field, over the fowls of the air, over all of it. He got to name the animals, the beast. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Is that not somebody that rules? But here's the thing, folks. When you run your household, husbands and wives, rule it in love, like God would. Don't rule it with a rod of iron, okay? Rule it in love. Work together. That's what Christ does with the church. In Ephesians, is it the fifth chapter? It talks about the great mystery. It's where Paul describes the church, and he uses a relationship between the husband and the wife. And he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a parable. It's a mystery. So does Christ rule over his bride, or does he love her into submission? Because the Bible does tell the wife to submit yourself to the husband, right? But if it's done right, then the wife will want to submit herself. But sometimes we work under a concept and a mentality, a mindset of law. It's like, right here, it says it, you do it. God doesn't do that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So why would you keep the commandments? Not because I'm trying to show him I love him, because I already do love him. Doesn't that make sense to you? So if you rule correctly, and Adam had it set up, Dathan, he was a king. But notice he said he made them male and female and gave them dominion. So they worked together, male and female. Does that make sense to you? Makes a lot of sense to me. Because if you've ever tried to force your wife, you husbands, and make them do something, Dathan's shaking his head. He married my daughter. I know exactly what happened to that boy. That didn't work out good at all. But if he shows her he loves her, and he works a ministry of Christ and leads her and guides her, here's the two reasons why. First off, it's the right thing to do. You follow Christ, his leading, you do it. Secondly, if you do it right and the woman or the wife doesn't follow, then her problem's with God now. That's pretty good. You just want to be on the right side of the line. How does that sound? Okay, so we'll start next week in Genesis. He was given dominion. As a matter of fact, I'll show you it all the way through. God's son should have dominion over his own spirit, over his thoughts, over everything, the heritage of God that God's given him, both male and female working together. Are you with me? Walker, read me that scripture.
Proverbs 16 and 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city.
See what he's talking about there? He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh the city. And in context, he's talking about anger. He that is slow to anger, help me out, Walker.
He that is slow to
Okay, he that is slow to anger. So are you ruling over your emotions? Are you ruling over your anger? You know how many people are in jail right now, in prison for the rest of their life because they allowed anger to rise up in them and they take another individual's life? Yeah. And more than likely regret every minute of it, huh? So Walker, does that say anything about you gotta be able to rule your spirit and control that anger even with road rage? Look at Hunter. So in other words, I'm just saying there's no exceptions. How did that anybody ever get upset the way other people drive? But we've repented, correct? I remember in times past, I was so happy there's no microphone in my truck. Oh, wait a minute, there is. I have a front camera and a rear camera. Oh, good thing I only have access to that thing, huh? A little bit of fun before we go here. The Son from the earth, in the beginning, the will of God was he's a ruler. Rule over the beast of the field. But here's the thing. How did he have a serpent get up in his face, seduce, beguile his wife? Was he not doing the will of God? Do you know in the New Testament, I'll show it, I'm showing it to you the beginning, but even the apostles, he said, behold, Jesus told him, behold, I give unto you power. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Power over all the power of the enemy. He said, you're rulers. You apostles need to be rulers. You need to be an example to the whole world. Huh? So then he said he gave them power. But in the beginning, in Genesis 3, when he cursed the serpent, he was showing his will. When he cursed the serpent, what did he say to him? The Son is going to bruise your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. In other words, the enemy is supposed to be under your feet, not up in your face, not deceiving your wives, huh? Not deceiving you, not caught you to sin and bring sin into the world. Hopefully, I caught your attention on some of this here today. Come back next week. We'll talk more about the sons of God. We'll talk more about the will of God. We'll talk more about these mysteries. Amen? Amen. Okay, God bless you. I appreciate you all very much.